Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so very much for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come around your word with the saints. I thank you, God, for everyone that is joining tonight, wherever they are, whatever platforms they might be joining on. I pray, Father God, that your mighty hands will be upon us today. Let your word come forth clearly. Grant me utterance, boldness, accuracy as I speak your word. Precious Holy Spirit, have your way. You are the great teacher. Teach us tonight. Grant us illumination and understanding, and cause your word to produce mighty fruit in every one of our lives today. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. And welcome again, and thank you for joining. It's exciting. Tonight, we are going to move forward in our lessons. And we have already covered, out of the 7 PowerPoints, most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself that we set out to study, we have already studied 4 of them. And for several months, we've just been digging and digging and digging. And tonight, by God's grace, we want to move to number 5, to the 5th PowerPoint, most important PowerPoint in praying for yourself. Let's just do a very, very short recap. What have we learned so far? What are the other PowerPoints, most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself? We started from abiding in God and allowing his word to abide in us. We learned that Jesus said, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. You will ask whatsoever you will, and it will be done. John 15:7. So we know the first most important PowerPoint in praying for ourselves is making sure we are abiding in the word. We went through a lot of what that means. All of these messages are there. I know there's so many of them now, but praise God, you can always just go back to some of them, whichever one you want to, and listen to them again. The second PowerPoint that we studied was the need to commit to the will of God when we pray. When we commit to the will of God in prayer, we're able to pray aright. We're able to pray aright and not pray amiss. And faith always begins where the will of God is known. When the will of God is a question mark, it is really difficult to pray with confidence, to pray with faith, and to expect to receive answers. So that second PowerPoint was commit to God's will. And then we went on to the third one. We spend a lot of time in this one. It's develop and grow your faith in God and engage your faith in the place of prayer. Engaging our faith in the place of prayer. This one was so powerful. We went on and on and on for a while, talking about confidence, talking about strengthening and empowering our belief system, talking about just so many different aspects of how our faith is crucial in us praying and receiving answers to our prayers. And then we moved on to the next one, the most recent one, where we have spent our last several weeks, which we called ask. Ask. As simple as that sounds, ask. Asking is the key to receiving. And, you know, the word of God says you receive not because you ask not. And if we don't ask, we don't receive. And we have learned so many things under the concept of asking. How to ask right. How to, all the different aspects of asking and what asking really is. How we articulate our requests before God, how we present them to him confidently, how we expect a favorable response. And then we talked about all the different things that impact our asking, and on like that. Our gifts, our sacrifices, our burnt offerings, vows, pledges, sacrificial offerings, of course. Talked about faithfulness, the power of faithfulness. And then talked about clearing the ground of our hearts, and and ensuring that there is no obstruction in our hearts. We're walking purely. We are putting aside and constantly getting rid out of our lives of things that can be an obstruction to our praying and our asking. And we finished that segment by talking about the need for us to overcome some particular major sins, especially the sin of strife, disobedience, and unforgiveness. And tonight, we're going to go on. We're going to start out by talking and beginning to learn about this fifth PowerPoint, which is so important, extremely connected, connected to the PowerPoint that we've been studying lately, but so very important that we appreciate and give the rightful place that this particular PowerPoint deserves. And I have called it Forgive. Forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness from your life. Forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness from your life. If you've been saved for any amount of time, I am pretty certain you have already heard a lot of teachings, possibly, on the concept of forgiveness. I know a lot of believers can spout scriptures, can tell us, teach messages and sermons on the concept of forgiveness. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said something. I think it's John 13:7. I'm not sure if it's 13:7. Somewhere there in the Gospel of John, he said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." If you know these things, happy are you, or blessed are you if you do them. So we understand knowing something is entirely different from practicing it. Even the knowing of it, sometimes we just need to get sharper in our knowing of those concepts. But even when we know them, doesn't guarantee that we're doing them. How many times do we know, yeah, I'm supposed to forgive? And yet, a lot of us harbor unforgiveness in our lives. A lot of us walk in offense. A lot of us walk in strife. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to forgive. Yeah, I know. Forgiveness is very important. I know the Word of God teaches it. I know a lot of scriptures that talk about forgiveness. Yeah, but the question is not how much do I know about forgiveness? The question is how much am I practicing forgiveness? Do I really understand the consequences of walking in unforgiveness? Do I know how much that can hinder my praying? If I realize all of that, then suddenly forgiveness becomes something that is much more than just a concept that I'm aware of. It becomes something that I'm committed to, something I want to make sure. Like I said earlier, it is forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness. All unforgiveness. All unforgiveness. And how many times have we heard people say, oh, I've forgiven her. Oh, I've forgiven him. But you can see from the fruit of their relationship that they haven't really forgiven. They are forgiven with their lips. But they haven't restored that person to the place that they rightfully deserve in their covenant relationship. You can see sometimes seeing the person, hearing about the person, talking about the person, stirs up emotions, ungodly emotions. And we know these feelings that we have, these thoughts that we have, are not good thoughts. They're not sweet thoughts. They are not lovely thoughts. They are not pure thoughts. Because there was an offense. And we have failed to move past that offense. And in some way or the other, we're dealing with unforgiveness. Well, one of the biggest problems with harboring unforgiveness in our lives is that unforgiveness is a blessing blocker. Unforgiveness is a prayer stopper. Unforgiveness will stop our prayers from being answered. And you see, as we go, I believe we would probably devote all of this service and possibly the next one to talking about unforgiveness and how to forgive and the power of it and all of that. And you will see as we go along here why it is so important in the place of prayer to forgive. To make sure that before we go to the place of prayer, we're forgiven. We don't have any unforgiveness. We don't have any mean thought. We don't have any unfavorable thought about anyone in our hearts, no matter what they've done to us. No matter how they may have hurt us, no matter how they may have grieved us, no matter what they may have done to offend us, there is no unforgiveness in our hearts. There is no offense in our hearts. Unforgiveness and offense always work hand in hand. When there is unforgiveness, there's usually offense. Because we don't feel good about the people. We don't think about them favorably. We are offended with them. And that offense is a stumbling block. In one place in John chapter 6, Jesus was teaching. He says, does this offend you? Offense will cause you to stumble. It won't just stop your prayers from being answered. It will cause you to stumble. An offense is the twin brother or twin sister of unforgiveness. They work hand in hand. Wherever there is offense, there's unforgiveness. Wherever there's unforgiveness, there is offense. And in another place where Jesus was teaching, he said it's impossible that offense will not come. That is, offense is almost a given in our interpersonal relationships. Why is that? Because human beings are imperfect. You know, like you and like me, we're imperfect people. And in James, the writer of James says, if anyone does not offend in words, they are perfect then. And we know we're not perfect. None of us is perfect, right? You are not perfect. I am certainly not perfect. So offense is likely to come from time to time in our relationship. And I know I'm taking a bit of time introducing this before I go to my scriptures tonight. But the introduction is very important because it is so crucial that we see and recognize the place, the importance of this concept that we're discussing tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is so important. You know, we can fast and pray. That's great. We can study the word. That's awesome. We can do so many other things. That's great. But forgiveness and unforgiveness is one of the greatest stumbling blocks to answered prayer, even when we have done everything else right. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ singled out unforgiveness. Unforgiveness or forgiveness trumps every other quality. Let me read this directly from my note here. Forgiveness trumps every other quality or advantage we possess because Jesus specifically singled it out when teaching about prayers that get answered. This is so important. Forgiveness trumps everything. You can be faithful. You can be a giver. You can be So many of the other things that we've talked about. You can engage your faith. You can abide in the word. You can commit to the will of God. But if there is unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers will not be answered. So this PowerPoint is so powerful. We've got to make sure that we have it covered. Amen. We have to make sure we have it covered. Let's go into some scriptures tonight. Let's look in the Word of God. Let's start from for this series of teachings. I know in previous ones I'll tell you this is the Almighty Scripture or whatever. For our Almighty Scripture for this series, this particular PowerPoint that we're going to be learning about forgiveness and unforgiveness is Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Would you go there with me, please? Mark, the gospel according to Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, you know, why don't we read it from 23 or 22? That's better. So we have context there. We're not just jumping into the tail end of what the Lord was teaching here. Mark 11, 22. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then he goes on in verse 24, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Oh, we've looked at these scriptures over and over again. But then he goes to verse 25 and says something extremely important here. He says, and when you stand praying, let's read this together. When you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. If you have anything against any, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your own trespasses. Let's look at that again. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against any, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. If you have, he says, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Let me ask you, do you have anything against anyone? Don't be so quick to answer. So, oh, no, no, no. Oh, no. Me, pastor, me, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Me, no. Look in your heart. Do you have anything against anyone? Is there anyone you consider has done you wrong? Is there anyone you believe has hurt you? Is there anyone you believe has created some disadvantage in your life? Is there anyone that you believe has not done right by you? Is there anyone you have any unfavorable feeling about? Any untoward feeling? Anything that is not goodwill and love and tenderness towards? Well, the Lord said, when you stand praying, forgive them. Forgive them. You say, oh, but you don't know what they did. That's unimportant now. The word of God says, forgive them. This is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching. The word is, the letters are in red. Amen. Forgive. There are people that are holding, they hold things for decades. Some people hold things for years. Some people hold things for ages. They won't talk to people, they won't relate with people, they have them put in some box somewhere, If they run into them somewhere, they can hardly even fellowship with them. I don't care how you couch it, how you describe it. That's unforgiveness. That's unforgiveness. I don't care how you want to describe it. You may want to put it in very spiritual terms so it sounds really nice and robust and sweet. You may want to say, me and the Lord, you and the Lord said nothing. You and the Lord have nothing on this. The Lord said, if you have anything against anyone, anything, I don't care if they are unbelievers. I don't care if they are believers. I don't care if they are members of your family. I don't care if they are just friends. I don't care if they are people you walk with. If you have anything against anyone, forgive. Forgive so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your own trespasses. Then he tells us in the next verse what would happen if we don't forgive. Verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive you your own trespasses. If you don't forgive, your Father who is in heaven will not forgive you. Amen. And if your Father who is in heaven does not forgive you, your prayers will not be answered. That's it. Your prayers are stopped. If God doesn't forgive us, we can't have access to God. You see why forgiveness is so important. You see why forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness was what God gave man through Jesus. It's what Jesus, the ultimate price that he paid to clear the way, clear the path for man's reconciliation with God. If forgiveness never happened, man could never have been reconciled to God, ever. So everything Jesus did, and when he hung on the tree, we read that scripture as well, when he hung on the cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them. That's us. That's before we even knew anything we were doing. He forgave us. He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They don't have an idea what they're doing. He said that about those who put him on that cross, about those who mistreated him before putting him on that cross. But he said that about you and about me. And that forgiveness paved the way, cleared the way for us to become reconciled, restored to our Father, for us to gain access. Well, guess what? If that forgiveness that the Lord Jesus Christ died to give to us is withdrawn, somebody say, can it be withdrawn? Yes, it can. Because if the Father does not forgive us, then that means the forgiveness Jesus died to give us is withdrawn. It means we're almost like unbelievers before the Lord. Oh, this is so big, saint. This is so huge. There's so many believers who don't realize it, who don't understand this, the place of forgiveness. They have no clue. They have no idea how important, how radically important forgiveness is. They have no clue, they have no idea. And a lot of prayers go unanswered because of the sin of unforgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if we don't forgive, our Father, our Heavenly Father, will not forgive. Now, I want us to read this in the Amplified Version, because the Amplified Version actually replaces the word forgive with a few very interesting words. And it's not definitional, like definitions from the dictionary or anything, but he actually uses synonyms of the word forgive, breaks it down for us so we can really understand what it means to forgive. Let's read this. Verse 25 from the Amplified. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Listen to that. If you have anything against anyone, he said, forgive him or her. Let it drop. What does that mean, let it drop? It means let it go. Don't keep holding on to it. Don't keep reminding yourself or reminding other people or reminding these people about it. Let it drop. That's what it means to forgive. Let it drop. Let it go. Come on now. Let it go. How long do you want to hold on to this for? Let it go. Let it go. He said, let it drop. That's not the only word he uses. He said, leave it. Let it go. Leave it. Leave it. Put yourself in a position where you start believing and start acting like it never happened. Somebody said, no, I don't think I can. Yes, you can. You have to. You have to. Not only the recent things, not only the things that are fresh in your memory, but from way back, you have to. If you don't, your prayers will not be answered. Listen now, let's read further. He says, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. So let it go. Let it go. Let it drop. Amen. Let it go. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says just about the same thing. Let's go and read that. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, if you forgive not, actually, no, verse 14 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your own trespasses. Let's read that from the Amplified. It says, for if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment. Let's talk about that for a minute. Giving up resentment. Resentment is usually one of the evidences of offense and unforgiveness. When we resent people, when we don't feel so good about them. He said, let it go. Giving up resentment, says your own heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your own trespasses. Giving up resentment is the fruit of forgiveness. You see that as we go. Let's read another scripture here. The importance, how important forgiveness is. The Lord described, we're going to go just back up a little bit in Matthew and go to Matthew chapter 5. To the point where he said, if you go to the altar and you take your gifts to the altar, your sacrifices to the altar. We've talked about how powerful our sacrifices are. Even in for our praying. How powerful our offerings are. Even in praying. But forgiveness trumps that. Because the Lord said, even when you come to the altar, if you come to the altar with all your gifts, your sacrifices, your burnt offerings, and you remember that you have something against someone, he said, leave them right there at the altar and go and sort it out. Now, this is extremely critical. You're going to see why in a minute. I've already said part of it. I've already alluded to it. But I'm going to take you deeper into it. Leave your sacrifices at the altar. Don't deceive yourself by saying, God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But he loves a cheerful giver who is already, who's working in forgiveness. Not a cheerful giver who is bearing resentment, who is working in unforgiveness. He said, if you come to the altar, you remember you have something against someone, leave your gifts, leave your sacrifices, and go sort it out before God. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Here we are. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave there your gift before the altar and go your way first. Be reconciled to your brother and then come back and offer your gift. If you go to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go your way and go and be reconciled to your brother or your sister first. Then come back and offer that gift. Oh, why is that? Why is that? Because you can give your best gifts, but if your best gifts are given under the cloud of unforgiveness and offense and strife and resentment, they are not acceptable to the Lord. It's not acceptable. It's like the sacrifice that Cain offered. And I know there have been different teachings about why Cain's, the quality of Cain's offering. And yes, that's true. But the quality of that offering was primarily affected because of his heart that was not right. It's because his heart was not right that he chose the offering that he chose. The offering he chose was a reflection of his heart that was not right. That's exactly what forgiveness and unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness beclouds, denigrates, completely diminishes the quality of our offering, of our gifts, and makes them unacceptable before the Lord. You see that because when the Lord wouldn't accept Cain's offering, what did he do? He turned on his brother. See, the offense produced unforgiveness, resentment, and he turned on his brother and murdered his brother. The quality of his heart, the quality of his gift was affected by the condition of his heart. Forgiveness gives value to our sacrifices. Forgiveness, love, gives value to our service to the Lord. You know, even in 1 Corinthians, Paul was saying, if I give everything I have, and I give everything I have to the poor, I even give my body to be burnt at the stakes, but I have no love. He says, nothing. It's nothing. That is not walking in that, in love or forgiveness, totally diminishes the value and the quality of whatever else we offer, that it becomes unacceptable. I pray that your sacrifices are acceptable to the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. Well, so then, let's embrace forgiveness. Let's walk and continue to walk in forgiveness. It takes tender-heartedness to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness, mercy, and love are all brothers and sisters. Forgiveness, mercy, love are all brothers and sisters. It takes tenderness of heart, tenderness of mind to walk in forgiveness. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Usually when there is unforgiveness, the heart is already hardened. The heart is already, is already in a place that is not tender before God. And no matter how we try to make it sound right, James said, you are just lying against the truth. You are just lying against the truth. Amen. So tenderness of heart. If we are going to keep walking in forgiveness towards people, tenderness of heart is something we need to cultivate. It's a quality of life we need to commit ourselves to. You say, well, if I have this tenderness of heart, people will take advantage of me. They may try. But there's such power in love and in forgiveness that in itself it is protection for our hearts. Let's read this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You see there, where there is the love of God in operation, you have kindness, you would have tender-heartedness, you would have compassion, you would have forgiveness. All of those things are products of the love of God. Forgiveness is a product of the love of God. We'll see that in just a minute. Forgiveness is a product of mercy. And mercy and compassion are a product of the love of God. And when we walk in forgiveness, we're walking like our Heavenly Father. Walking in forgiveness actually is demonstrating practical love, is walking in love. And walking in love is walking in God. I hope you got that. Walking in forgiveness is walking in love. And walking in love is walking in God. So if we don't walk in forgiveness, we're not walking in God. And if we're not walking in God, our prayers are not going to be answered. We can fast 40 days and 40 nights multiple times a year. But if we don't settle this forgiveness issue, our prayers are going nowhere. Our prayers will not be answered. Amen. So let's get it done. Now, when we talk about forgiveness, there are two major issues that we must understand and discuss where this concept is concerned. These two areas are areas where believers generally struggle. The first one is the one that we've been talking about tonight, and we will continue to talk about. We'll give a lot more to that. But I'm also, before I leave this PowerPoint, I'm going to mention a little bit about the other part of it. This first part is giving forgiveness to others. It's giving it. Giving forgiveness to others, which is a lot of what we've been talking about. The other part is just as important, and a lot of believers stumble over that, is receiving forgiveness for ourselves. Receiving forgiveness for ourselves. Amen. It is crucial to give forgiveness, but it is just as crucial to receive it. You know, a lot of believers struggle with receiving answers to prayers because they won't receive forgiveness, the forgiveness of God. There are some people who believe, God would never forgive me for what I've done. You won't believe it, the lie that I told. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And that guilt, even in 1 John, the Bible says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. So we need to be able to receive his forgiveness. Oh, you have no idea how big my sin was. Let it go, let it drop. Let it drop. No matter how big it was, no matter how big it seems to you, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was bigger than that. Let it go. Let it go. So there's that little section of people who believe. Matter of fact, I'm going to read some things to you from Kenneth Hagin's book. I was hoping I can do it tonight. Let's see, how far have I gone? I think I still have a little bit of time to read some of that, because I like to do that tonight. And then next week, and let's close out our discussion on forgiveness. But he did say one or two things that are extremely powerful. An example that he gave, and I've preached about it before, but I actually want to read it directly to you from his book. But he also shared, I don't have that material here, also shared about people, specific people, that especially a gentleman that he ministered to in the early days of his ministry, who just believed that, you know, God could never forgive him. And this man was dealing with a health issue. He was sick, and you know, different people would pray for him, and he came to minister to him, and he was telling Brother Hagin, "Oh, you know, I don't think God would ever forgive me." And when he asked him, "What is this sin that you've committed? What is this sin?" And he said, "Did you started listing the sins?" That's Kenneth Hagin started listing the possible sins. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? No. What was it? He finally mentioned something that was so ridiculous. It was so ridiculous. He said, "Yeah, I did that, and I don't believe God would ever forgive me." And his failure to receive forgiveness also created the opportunity for Satan to afflict him. You know, that confidence of faith that we talked about earlier on in our studies when we discussed the PowerPoint of faith. If you don't have confidence, you can't receive answers. So it is important to give forgiveness. My time is going here. Help me, Holy Spirit. It's important to give forgiveness. But it is also important to receive forgiveness. What is forgiveness? We've already used a few synonyms for that word. To forgive means to carry away. That's from the original. It means to carry away a debt, take away guilt, to lift over, to bear the repercussion of wrongdoing, of sin. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is to let something go. It's like you forgive a debt. Somebody owes you something, or they owed you something, and you write it off. Or you owed me this $5,000. You know what? I'm writing it off. You don't owe it to me anymore. It's over. The account is settled. Oh, just like that. Yes, just like that. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a gift, whether or not somebody deserves it. Is we write off the debt. We write off what is owed. Yes, they hurt you. Yes, they offended you. Yes, they did something wrong and said something evil about you. Yes, they maligned your character. Yes, they betrayed you. Yes. But let it go. Let it drop. Forgiveness is one thing. Giving it away is one thing. Receiving it is another thing entirely. Receiving it. Being willing to accept it as a gift from the Lord. But in being willing to accept it as a gift, because that's the first thing we had to do, that's the first experience we had when we came into Christ, we had to believe that the price was already paid for our sins. God already, Jesus, by the sacrifice he made on Calvary, already paid the price. We have to be willing to accept that gift of forgiveness and to stop carrying that load of sin and being burdened and being torn apart by it. We needed to receive the gift of forgiveness. But in the same way, we're going to have to give that gift to the people that wrong us. How would you like for God to keep bringing up things that you did before you knew Him, before you were saved? How would you like for God to keep reminding you, oh, you were this and you were that, and yeah, I saved you, but I have to keep reminding you, this is what you used to be like. This is how you used, how, none of us will be happy about that. None of us will be blessed by that. In fact, one of the scriptures in the Psalms, he says, I think that was Isaiah, I have thrown away, or maybe it's the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 103. I've thrown away, for a matter of fact, let's read that scripture in Psalm 103 before my time is up here. Psalm 103. Forgiveness is a gift, and we learn to receive it, but we must also learn to give it. We learn to give it, but we must also learn to receive it. Amen. In Psalm 103, actually, let's read that from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Notice the very first benefit he lists. The very first benefit is the benefit of forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? And both of them are tied together. Because He forgave our iniquities, He can heal our diseases. But on the other hand, if we can't receive forgiveness for our sins, we can't receive healing. And if we can't give forgiveness to others for their wrong against us, a lot of times we can't receive our healing. You see that. We can't get to it tonight. But you see that when we come back next week, by God's grace. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits. What are these benefits? Number one benefit. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who forgives all your iniquities? Redeems your life from destruction. Crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. All of these are because He gave us forgiveness first. And if we didn't receive forgiveness first, all of those other benefits will not have become realities in our lives. You know, it goes further down. And then it says there in verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That's that scripture I was looking for. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions away from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. Verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto His children's children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a couple more minutes here to spare here before we close out tonight. But let me read this out to you. This is so important. Let's read this out and then we're going to pray tonight. And we're going to pick it up from here next week by God's grace. Listen, forgiveness is critical in gaining access to God because it is a reflection of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself offered on the cross for us in order to reconcile us to the Father. Forgiveness is critical in gaining access to God because it is a reflection of what the Lord Jesus Christ offered us on the cross in order to reconcile us to the Father. Meaning, when we forgive, that forgiveness is critical in gaining access to God. Why? Because it mirrors how the Lord Jesus Christ gave us access to God in the first place. You remember what he offered us? He offered us forgiveness right there on the cross. Not after he rose up and went to heaven. While he was feeling the pain. While they whipped him, while they pierced his side, while they put a crown of thorns on his head, while he was dripping in his own blood, he forgave. He was hurting, but he forgave. Right there on the cross. In Luke chapter 23, you see that. Let's close out there. Luke chapter 23, verse 33 and 34. Luke chapter 23, verse 33 and 34. He forgave us while hanging on the cross. Verse 33, look at what it says. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. While hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them. While hurting, Father, forgive them. While in deep pain, Father, forgive them their trespasses, for they know not what they do. That forgiveness is what gave us access to the Father in the first place. And when you and I forgive, it gives us access in prayer to the Father because it mirrors exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Why don't you go ahead? Let's thank God tonight for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did for us on Calvary. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. Thank you for paying the ultimate price, making the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for paving the way. Lord, thank you for reconciling us with the Father, granting us access to the throne room of God. We give you all the glory tonight. We give you all the praise tonight. I have a minute. I want you, as we close out here, maybe through the service, names came to you, people, faces that you have ought against, you have something against, or you don't feel too good, you have resentment. Go right ahead and forgive them now. In the name of Jesus, receive the grace. List them if you can. Mention their names. I forgive him. I forgive her. Lord, I let it go. I let it drop. I receive your forgiveness and I give your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for your mighty word. We give you all the glory and the praise. I pray, Father, for my brothers and sisters, their loved ones, their families. Bless them tonight as we dismiss. Bless them tonight. Help us enjoy the benefit and the graces of your forgiveness. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.